Longtime beat reporter for the Boston Bruins, Steve Conroy joins us. Steve, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing very well. I guess I was reading online some thoughts about maybe Johnny Boychuk, maybe Brad Marchand, because if the Bruins want to sign Iginla, they've got to move some money. Now, if they gave Iginla an incentive-laden contract, would that, which allows him kind of to have the back money for next season, is that an option? Do you think, would he go for that again?
You know, I don't know if he'd go for that. You know, he was very, he expressed, you know, a desire to come back to Boston. It was a good fit. There seems to be, you know, reasonable motivation on each side to get this done. I'm not sure if he wants to do an incentive laden deal again, but which would have to be a 1 year deal. I don't know. It's a, you know, they, for a situation with two sides that want to get a deal done, they haven't gotten it done very quickly. So we'll see if that gets done. And if it doesn't get done, then the Bruins will be scrambling a little bit.
So you look at Jerome Iginla at his age. He obviously had a very good season with the Bruins once again, Steve. Do you buy into the rumblings? Like, would they sign him at his age to move and be forced to move maybe a Boychuk or a Marchand to do so?
I would think Boychuk more than Marchand.
Okay.
If you move Marchand, that's a big hole in that in your top six there. And he's just he's not the player to move in a salary dump type of thing. And neither really is Johnny Boychuk either. But I think they could withstand that loss a little better. You know, they've got some guys coming on. They've got Kevin Miller came up and played well for them last year. Torrey Krug and Dougie Hamilton look to be ready to take that next step. They played pretty well in the playoffs, even though it was a disappointing end for the Bruins. And you'll have Dennis Seidenberg coming back, possibly Adam McQuaid coming back. We'll see. They might have to move his money and maybe even move Chris Kelly's money. Chris Kelly makes $3 million. Both those guys, unfortunately, both those guys are coming off some injuries. Chris Kelly has is coming off a back surgery, and Adam McQuaid is coming off ankle surgery. So if they're gonna move them, they're gonna have to gift them to somebody, which would be good for whatever team that gets them, because they're both good character guys. And I thought they missed Kelly quite a bit in the playoffs. Against the Canadians, especially, they lost a little bit of his speed and a little bit of his leadership. So that's the way I think they would go to get rid of some money if they had to.
Steve Conroy joins. Steve, the Bruins got to be disappointing. Most people had them pegged as the best team in the East, and of course didn't get to the conference final, and of course didn't get to the Stanley Cup. Seidenberg obviously was the main piece that they missed. Do you see them adding anything else, or do they feel that it was just an off year and they're going to kind of stand pat and go for another run again next year?
They've talked about doing some tweaks, and that's a subjective term. Who knows what they mean by tweaks? Could it be just to add another guy on the third and fourth line? Obviously, they've moved on from Sean Thornton. We got that news yesterday. They kind of telegraphed that at the breakup day press conference. They gave hints that they weren't going to bring him back. So there'll be a new fourth line somehow, and that's been a constant for them. That fourth line with Thornton, Gregory Campbell, and Danny Pae has been a constant since midway of their Stanley Cup win in 2010-2011. So that'll be a fairly major change, whoever they decide to put in there, whether it's somebody up from Providence or whether they choose to get somebody on the trade market or the free agent market. There's also the question, if they move Kelly, who goes into his spot there? So that could be the tweaks, but if they can't sign Iginla, then all bets are off. They've got to do some scrambling here to get a first line center. First line right wing.
Yeah. Do they need more speed in their top six in your mind?
Not. They need a dash of it, a dash more. They lost something when they sent Sagan and Peverly to Dallas. No question about it. Those were two of their fastest guys. I don't think they lost that series to Montreal because of a lack of speed. Just a lot of things didn't go well for them. Tuukka Rask didn't have his best series, and Carey Price had a very good series for Montreal. But I wouldn't mind seeing just a hint more speed here or there. And it doesn't have to be a real high-end player. You see a guy like Matt Zuccarello, who's not really, I would say, a natural goal scorer, but he's one of the best players for the Rangers just because of his speed created so many problems for the opposition, whoever it was.
You mentioned Kelly. Now, he has, I was looking at the Bruins. I think they got like 11 guys with no movement clauses. Do you know, is his a limited no movement clause?
I believe it's a modified, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they should be able to move it if they choose to. Like I said, he was missed in that playoff series, and it would be a hard bullet for them to take if they had to move him. But I believe they'd be able to move him.
Have you heard, you look at the free agent crop, and obviously it's not the deepest one in past years. Would a player like Alex Hemsky, do you think, fit in at all in Boston?
I don't think so, okay. Partially because he'd be on the higher end of the free agent market, I think, and he'd and they're just not in that position to go shopping right there. If a Gindler doesn't sign,
yeah.
Chances are Gindler and Hemsky might get similar deals. So, mm-hmm. I would think they would get something done with a Gindler before they would go to Hemsky.
Yeah, well, and a Gindler, I know for a fact, really enjoyed, like his family really enjoyed Boston a lot. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed it as much off the ice as they did on the ice. Our contract's going on right now. Do you know negotiations? Are they close?
I don't know if they're close. I know they've been talking. Chances are they might get something, or they may continue the talks around the time of the draft. But at that point, it's all of a sudden these guys can negotiate with other teams too, and the other teams can kick the tires on the potential UFA. So they're pushing to the end, and you think if it was, for like I said, a situation where both sides want to get it done, you would have hoped it would have gotten done by now. But, we shall see. Maybe there's a little brinksmanship going on right now.
And Johnny Boychuk, in your mind, is he a top four guy legitimately? Is that where he's best suited on a second pairing?
Yes. I think he's handled himself quite well on a top four. He's been their second guy. The second right defenseman, and he is that guy. He'll get paid. He's got one more year left on his deal at 3.3, I want to say, and then he's a UFA, and he'll get paid. And that's another reason why he might be a guy that they would look to move.
Steve, I appreciate the rundown. Quickly, I know when you're drafting as late as the Bruins are, we always hear best player available, but when you look at organizational depth, do they need a center, do they need a defenseman, do they need a winger?
I don't think they need a goaltender, I can tell you that right now, but they've surprised me before. They've got Rask, they've got Malcolm Subban, they've got Nicholas Svedberg. Nicholas Svedberg might be their backup next year. So I don't think they would go goaltender with their first round pick, but after that I think it's best player available, no question about it. I don't think they're targeting any one spot.
Okay, appreciate your time.
Although I should say this, they value centermen with versatility.
Yeah, well, they got a few of those in Boston right now. So
yeah.
That's a good combination to look for in your centermen for sure.
Yeah.
Steve, I appreciate the time.
All right, Jason, thanks for having me.